Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay and enjoyed some sunshine over the long bank holiday weekend in Kent. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, the 5th of May. Coming up here, the dramatic moment. A man was told to leave a Canterbury City Council meeting.
Because he's the only one who doesn't like the truth. Look, no one carrying away. Thank you very much. I'll be back.
A Hythe mum says her son won't be defined by his hearing loss.
One thing that I've always wanted to do is to make sure that he's never said, oh, I can't do that because I'm deaf. Like, never. I've always wanted him to just be like, yeah, okay, I want to do that. Or, actually, no, I don't want to do that just because I don't want to do it, not because I can't do it.
And the Gillingham manager reacts to their final result of the season.
Performance was bang average, honestly. And I don't like saying that. I'm going to be honest. We can play so much better than we did.
But first, our top story on the website today is about a man from Hythe who stole thousands of pounds from his dad and secretly arranged his cremation without telling his family. Well, Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, a very unusual case.
It really is. A court heard how Richard Avery had been estranged from his dad, George, for 20 years and only re-entered his life shortly before he died in June 2022. Within days of his dad passing away, the 56-year-old had taken £5,700 from his bank account and spent more than £3,600 on jewellery using his credit card. Folkestone Magistrates Court was also told how he went on to arrange his father's cremation without informing other relatives, including those who were responsible for the estate. It was all reported to police by George's stepdaughter, who'd been named as executor of his will.
And do we know how the family felt?
Well, they told the court how it delayed probate and has caused significant distress. George's stepdaughter said Avery had committed an evil act which deprived all of us who loved George from giving him a respectful send-off and saying our goodbyes. She added, I cannot put into words this tsunami of reactions that followed in my family after that.
And what did the defendant's legal team say?
Well, they said Avery's behaviour was misguided and inappropriate, knowing that he was not thinking straight. They added that he wanted to apologise to the court.
Finally, Lucy, what was his sentence?
Well, Avery, who's from Battery Point, was jailed for 12 months, reduced from 18 months due to his guilty pleas, and the sentence was suspended for a year. He must complete 200 hours of unpaid work and pay 250 hours in compensation to six family members. A separate charge of uttering a false cremation certificate was withdrawn by the Crown Prosecution Service after Avery entered his guilty pleas to the other five offences.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
The MP for Dartford says a water safety notice issued at a local hospital is fast becoming an urgent situation. Jim Dixon has been in touch with bosses at Darrent Valley, where the issue is said to have led to difficult conditions for staff and patients. Some taps in the building have been out of action since last Wednesday. We're told portable sinks have been brought in along with bottled water. It has now been declared by the hospital as a critical incident. A car has crashed into a restaurant in Faversham, causing extensive damage. Police and paramedics were called to the cowshed at the Ship Inn over the weekend. One person was taken to hospital, but no one inside the building was hurt. You can see pictures by heading to the Faversham pages of Kent Online. A man's been kicked out of a council meeting in Canterbury just days after being convicted of harassing a councillor. Kenneth Little narrowly avoided being issued with a restraining order after appearing in court last week. Well, now footage at Kent Online shows the moment the 71-year-old from Ford Walk in Yorklitz disrupted a meeting considering plans for 300 homes.
Mr. Little, I'm afraid you have to leave because we've been on through this before.
Okay. It's a public building. I've been invited to speak. If you don't want to hear the evidence and the facts, put some earplugs in your ears.
Mr. Little, you're not talking about this application.
I am talking about the application. She sat on the committee, leafleted through my daughter's doors in Golden Hill. Is that true, Mr. Flackley? Is that true?
John,
so
we're pausing the meeting.
Was that true? Did
Everybody
you put leaflets in Golden Hill door? My daughter's house and my son's house at 30C Golden Hill. Is that true? Same as old. It says yes or no. Because he's the other one who doesn't like the truth. Look, no one going away. Well, all right, okay, so by that, thank you very much. I'll be back. Yeah, you get that all on video, mate. And print it properly. Evidence, facts, not the crap you print. Don't touch me.
I haven't touched you.
Yeah, that'd be assault, mate. You won't want anything for.
Well, Mr. Little told Kent Online after the meeting that he'll be appealing his conviction and believes he has grounds to overturn it. As far as the development that was being discussed is concerned, well, a decision on that was deferred.
Kent Online reports.
CCTV has emerged of a plant being stolen from a Chinese takeaway in Chatham. The owner of Bill's Kitchen has described a shock after the money tree was taken from the site on Castle Road yesterday evening. It had been there for 15 years after being given as a gift. A Chatham man who stole bottles of baby milk from a shop in Rochester has been given a conditional discharge. A court heard Sam Hardstaff took 10 bottles of Aptamil from an Asda Express in January, despite having enough money in his pocket to pay for them. The 33-year-old from Maidstone Road was tracked down via CCTV. Now, next today, campaigners fighting to reopen a derelict cinema in Deal have staged a protest while dressed as Star Wars characters. The Regent building has been empty since 2008. There were recently plans to redevelop the site, but the proposals fell through. Now, those in favour of bringing the building back into use chose Star Wars Day or May the 4th to get their message across. Lucy's been chatting to Faye Franklin, who's chairman of Reopen the Regent campaign group. She says the protest was important to raise awareness.
Still a lot of people in the town, you know, they're busy people. They don't know what's happening with the Regent, and it's the question that any of us who are involved always get asked. So what is going on with it? So it's a way to spread the news that currently nothing is going on with it. But it really brings new people in and, you know, brings the town together.
And it has been empty for such a long time, that building. And as you say, the planning application that was going through last year kind of dropped off into oblivion. But how frustrating is it for you, and how, what's the kind of plan for the future of continuing to campaign to bring this building back into use?
It's very frustrating for us, and probably the most frustrating thing was that in, I think it was 2019, some really good plans were approved. We gave them our blessing. Everybody thought it was a great plan for a two-screen cinema and a cafe bar there. It looked really good. It was, the architects were a very good company. And then along came COVID. And so no work was done on the building, despite lots of other building work going on elsewhere. And then so 3 years later, the plans expired, and with nothing, still nothing done to it, which is a shame. In terms of how we keep going and what we do next, we just keep pestering Dover District Council to consider a compulsory purchase order. That's probably would be the best thing to happen. But we're also, you know, we talk to people who are interested in putting the development forward, but you know, it's not ours. It belongs to two private developers, so we can't really do anything about that. It's not ours to buy or sell. What we'd love them to do is the original people who bought it, who promised a cinema before the final Harry Potter film was shown. And we'd just like them to keep their promise to the town. It's as simple as that.
What kind of benefits would it bring to the town having this site back in use, whether it's the building that's there at the moment or whether it is knocked down and turned into something else? I mean, I imagine there's some people, especially teenagers, who've never known that to be open at all. And what would it mean to kind of have a cinema or just something there for the community?
I think it would be fantastic for the community. We are we're quite a large town. We seem very small, but, you know, there are lots of areas with young families who would benefit from it. There are as well lots of older people. It could be a cinema that ran all day and all evening. And, of course, then we've got all the tourists coming into town. You know, you only need a sort of wet Tuesday in July, and there's somewhere for people to go. So it would be a really big benefit. It would be great for the other traders as well, because it would bring people into town. So yeah, I think with a bit of vision and planning and inspiration, it could be such a great little cinema. Well, not that little either. It's got, in theory, it's got space for a decent two-screen cinema.
Kent Online reports.
A key road in the county is set to close overnight for more than a week. The A249 Sittingbourne Road from Detling to Stockbury will be closed for resurfacing works between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m. starting tonight. Work is expected to finish on the morning of Tuesday, May the 19th. Two buildings in Sittingbourne worth £1.7 million could be given a new lease of life. Buyers have come forward to take on the former ambulance station and the Dane Works depot on Crown Quay Lane, not far from the railway station. It's not known yet who's expressed interest or what the buildings could be turned into. Now, if you head over to the homepage of Kent Online, you can see a new solar farm near Dover and how it's taking shape. More than 60 acres of land in Guston will eventually be covered in panels. They'll generate enough power for 7,600 homes, which is about 14% of the Dover district. Next on today's episode, a Kent mum has described how she's determined not to let her son's deafness define who he is as a person. David from Hythe was born during COVID and failed his newborn hearing screening. He was eventually diagnosed with complex bilateral hearing loss at 6 months old. Well, mum Tracy Washington immediately learnt sign language, and six-year-old David's recently been fitted with implants. She says he's an incredible advocate.
I've done so much research around deaf awareness and realising that a total communication would be the best avenue for him to... So I started learning British Sign Language straight away so that David would have access to language and he would have choice. So growing up, he would be able to decide if he did or didn't want to utilise hearing aids. So hearing aids are a fantastic tool for deaf people, but like as a kind of medical model, they are seen as like a fix, but it doesn't fix noisy situations. If you're swimming or if you're active in sports or you're doing lots of different things, it doesn't fix that that deafness. Being able to speak, like shout at someone from across the room, they're not going to be able to kind of hear that. But I've never seen stopped David. His deafness has never limited him. I've always given him the option or the opportunity to try anything and making that accessible. So his deafness has never impacted him. He's never gone, which has always been the one thing that I've always wanted to do, is to make sure that he's never said, oh, I can't do that because I'm deaf. Like, never. I've always wanted him to just be like, yeah, okay, I want to do that. Or actually, no, I don't want to do that just because I don't want to do it, not because I can't do it. So there's not been any limitations. He is the most confident child. He had his implants put in over Christmas, which was a bit wobbly because it was the 22nd of December and I was really sad that he might have a bit of a rubbish Christmas, but it didn't stop him. He went back to school with no hearing aids for a month because he didn't really want to wear his old ones because they were hurting him, but he went in and just used mixes of sign and lip reading, and just his friends were great and trying to see, make sure they were all looking, and kind of had some really good deaf awareness. But it's just impacted him in the sense that he needs that additional support with communication, but it's not changed him from being confident and happy and just having, because I've given him access to everything. Like, he up until recent has played rugby, he swims all the time, he loves doing anything that is dangerous and adventurous, and he's never been told no. It's just, okay, well, if you want to, we can see how we can do that, but we'll definitely make it possible, which is great, because then he has the same access and opportunities as any other child, and it makes him just so confident, and he shows everyone he had his aids put on and will happily show you how to take them on and off, and the magnets in his head, he understands the operation, which is incredible deaf identity and self-awareness for a six-year-old, because he sees people with clips or different aids, and he's like, oh, matchy matchy, look, we have the same, which is great. I volunteer at Kent Deaf Children's Society, and we have teens coming in and out, or teens like children, and if they've been late diagnosed, sometimes they're a bit less confident around their aids, whereas they come in and David will see them and he'll be like, oh my god, look at your hearing aids, they're so cool, yours are blue and white, look, mine have got like rainbow stickers on the moment, or they've got pokeballs on them. And then I think their children are just like, wow, this is amazing, he is such an advocate for obviously wearing his aids, or deaf just awareness community. He will tell adults if they are not looking at his face that they need to look at him so that he can understand them. Just providing him with that access to advocate for himself, or just being just incredible, really, for a six-year-old.
Tracy has been speaking to us as part of Deaf Awareness Week to highlight signs to look out for and where to get support. A landscaping firm that's been forced to move due to the construction of the Lower Thames Crossing has been given permission to relocate to Southfleet. There have been fears Baylis Landscaping Contractors Limited would have to close after being told to leave its site near Gravesend. Well, planning officers initially recommended the move be refused, but it was approved by councillors. And experts have been monitoring a dolphin that's been spotted in the River Medway. The animal was swimming in the water near Maidstone over the bank holiday weekend and was in good condition. It's hoped it was able to get back out to sea when the gates at Allington Lock were opened at high water yesterday evening.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and it was a win for Gillingham over the bank holiday weekend, finishing the season on a high. They beat Shrewsbury Town 1-0 at Priestfield on Saturday, ending the campaign 17th in League Two. Well, manager Gareth Ainsworth spoke to us after the final whistle.
Performance was bang average, honestly. And I don't like saying that. I'm going to be honest. We can play so much better than we did. You know, passed a few out of play. We didn't win as many seconds as I wanted. We didn't have as many gilt-edged chances as they did. They should have scored a couple, right? If we get those chances, I think we score, because I think my strikers are good. But we don't create those chances. We have to get players in who can help create those chances. Having said that, you know, a bit of magic from Gareth McCleary is, and he's a class act, you know. I thought was fitting way to win the game for Sandbox, his retirement. It's his best mate here, and a close friend for many years. But you know what? We've been very good in some games and not got anything. So when I talk about it evens itself up, that was definitely one that evened itself up. But listen, I'm so proud of the boys, you know, what they've done this season. It's not been easy. It has not been easy, right? We've dumbed down a few things that have happened, you know, the surgery for me wasn't great, you know, and trying to come back a little bit early because I could see things, you know, be difficult. That was tough. The injury list we had was really tough. And we've got to sort it out next season. We've finished the same position, I think, have we, as last season. So, no progress, but I want it next year. I want to have a big summer on the recruitment side of things. The talks have gone on behind the scenes, and you'll find out tomorrow morning that there's some players in that team today that know they're not here next year, and that's testament to them as well, you know. So, and that's hard to manage, but got the win. Really, really nice moment celebrating with the fans and saying thank you to all the Rainham End and the sides, you know, alongside, because the fans of the club, you know, the fans don't move. I move clubs, the players move clubs, you know, a lot of the staff come and go. The fans will never change, and they will never waver from this club, and that's their club. And so to be able to support and go, we're giving you a little bit there. Hopefully there's a lot more to come. It was really nice. And I think they've understood this season that it's been tough.
Now, the end of season awards due had already been cancelled before the final game because of a pretty disappointing season. But the club announced the winners. Bradley Dack was named Player of the Year. Sam Gale got the Young Player Prize. And Goal of the Season went to Max Clark. You can see the winners list in full by heading to the sports pages of the website. It's also been confirmed 16 players are leaving Gillingham following the end of the season. Among them are Max Clark, Connor Masterson and goalkeeper goalkeeper Glenn Morris. Meantime, new contracts have been agreed with Bradley Dack, Armani Little, Gareth McCleary and Damien Theodore, while apprentices Cruz Besant, Louis Dale and Michael Luxton have been offered deals at Priestfield. I'm sure fans have plenty to say about the players who've left and the players that are staying. You can leave comments by heading to the sports pages of kentonline.co.uk. Elsewhere, the title-winning management team at Whitstable Town have agreed to stay on for another 2 years. The Oystermen won the Southern Counties East League Premier Division this season and also claimed victory in the Kent Senior Cup. Boss Jamie Coyle and his assistant Matt Longhurst have both signed contract extensions. On to cricket now, and Kent have claimed their first victory of the season. They beat Derbyshire by 225 runs in their latest county championship match at Canterbury. It follows two draws and a heavy defeat away to Worcestershire. And hockey teams from across the country have gathered for a series of games in Herne Bay. More than 160 players were involved in the May Day Hockey Festival over the bank holiday weekend. It's the first time the event's been held since 2010. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium, which gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.